Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And let's pray. Father, that's our request of you today. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would teach us to pray, that as we observe your prayer life, that we would not be intimidated, but that we would be inspired, and that we would have hope that we could develop a consistent, effective prayer life that causes us to be closer with you and live the life that you intended for us to live. We ask that you teach us to pray, and then we commit ourselves to being doers of your word and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. Luke chapter 5. Let's look at Jesus' prayer life, because there was something about Jesus' prayer life that the disciples that were closest to him said, okay, what you're doing, we'd like to do that. You teach us to pray. We're observing what you're doing and how you're communicating with the Heavenly Father. And so would you teach us how to do what you are doing? Luke chapter 5, verse 16, we read, so he, speaking of Jesus, often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. And when I read these verses, and I've done this for a great number of years, I'm so inspired by the fact that Jesus often withdrew for prayer. I mean, Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus who is the Word, Jesus who is I Am, Jesus who was there in the beginning, Jesus who created the world, Jesus who's one with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, God, often withdrew to pray. That if Jesus found it necessary, not a luxury, but an absolute necessity to pray, then I'm not just inspired, but I'm actually provoked into thinking that if Jesus needed to pray, then I need to pray. But I'm telling you, if it's something that God is even maybe, let's say, requiring of us. I use strong words sometimes, and it's off-putting to some and encouraging to others, but prayer seems to be more than a suggestion to me that it would improve our lives. That prayer might even be a commandment from God for something that is required of us as a follower of the Lord, that we are to pray, and that if God requires something of us, then he's going to give us the ability, he's going to give us the grace, he's going to give us the mercy to be able to do this thing. That whatever God requires of us, he is also required to give us his grace to do that thing. And so if Jesus often withdrew from the crowd to pray, then maybe that's something that ought to be part of our lives also. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 12. It came to pass in those days that when he went onto the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God, and when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them, from his multitude, probably hundreds of disciples, he chose 12, whom he named apostles. That before Jesus had this all-important decision, this was an extremely important decision that Jesus made. It's already his custom to pray. But before he had this major decision to make in his ministry and his life, he spent all night in prayer. And again, I'm just seeing Jesus is our example. This is what we should be following. That we should have a regular, routine, very consistent prayer life. But if we're faced with all important decisions, that we should spend even more time in prayer. We're convinced that we're too busy to pray. We're convinced that we don't have time, and God understands. One person that I looked up to in a lot of ways growing up was a a very regular church person. But she made a statement that I remember. And she used to substitute teach sometimes for us at school. But she made a statement. I'm sorry, I couldn't agree with then, I can't agree with now. She made a statement to us in class one day, back when you could talk about God and pray and stuff at church and not get in trouble. But she said, "I'm a very, very busy person, so I don't really spend much time praying. God knows how busy I am." And I thought, huh. Jesus often withdrew to pray. I mean, think about it. If you've got a very important decision to make in your life's probably also equally busy associated with that very important decision. Because very important decisions have a lot of variables to them and a lot of people involved. And come on, somebody, and it requires extra time. But instead of just having an attitude of, hey, you know, I and the Father are one, God knows. No, when Jesus had even more on his plate, let's just say, he spent extra time in prayer. And we're going to take some weeks going through the Lord's Prayer, so I don't feel a great need to be extremely instructive today. But I wanted to settle in with you that Jesus prayed. He prayed often. And when he had important decisions to make, he prayed extra. I mean, we're praying a lot of extra right now because there's decisions, there's things going on, there's a lot of things in motion, there's a lot of variables, there's a lot of people involved in the decision-making processes as we're planting these new churches and helping them grow and making strategic decisions about that. Things that are going on in our church. And while that's requiring extra time, you know, time on the telephone, time meeting with people in person, you know, time in the office talking about things and about how are we going to do this and how are we going to do that. But in the middle of being extra busy, we're finding extra time to pray. Because that's the way Jesus did it. It almost looks like Jesus even made a mistake. I mean, one out of the 12, come on, didn't turn out too good. But I like the part of McKenzie's testimony that had to do with God's plan isn't always our plan and His way isn't always our way. But when we expose ourselves to the Lord in prayer and we're convinced this is what the Lord wants us to do, we can also trust and the result in His hand, even if the result isn't what we would have chosen. Are you following me? There's something about a confidence that comes in that you exposed yourself to God in prayer, and that if even something doesn't look like it's working out right, or that it's working out fair, or it's working out the way that it looks like maybe we even made a mistake, come on. Or somebody else made a mistake and we're the victim of that. That God will still see us through that moment. Look at Luke chapter 9. And verse 28. Is it okay if we just take a little time? Because I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of times in my life where I felt very deficient in my prayer life. Like studying the Bible, you know, writing, teaching and preaching material. That's something that I always enjoyed from the time of being a teenager, even up to today. Working on some material to teach some pastors and leaders in Burma and in India coming up later on. And it's taken a lot of extra time in preparation for teaching for that because, you know, been asked to teach along a certain subject. And I enjoyed that. But when it came to prayer, just felt like wasn't good at it. He said, well, you're a pastor. Let me tell you something about being a pastor. There's certain grace from God that you have, like being able to stand up and communicate the Word of God. But as far as following the Lord and living the Christian life, there's no special grace from God when you're a pastor. There's no special grace from God to live a Christian life when you're a pastor. Does that surprise you? There's a special grace from God to be a pastor, but there's no special grace from God to be a Christian. I have to be a Christian and follow the Lord just like everybody else. There's no special grace, no special sauce. I don't just magically have a wonderful prayer life because God called me into ministry. I have to work out my salvation with fear and trembling just like everybody else. And can I just be honest with you? This has been an area of my life I just didn't feel like I was good at it. Because I think there's something in it. I think the enemy, well, I think Satan really uses that. How many of you just nod your head at me and say, I really felt like I haven't been very good at praying? Okay, there's about 10% of you that are being honest with me. All right. Because there's probably about 10% of you that are really good at it. You feel like, man, I'm good at prayer. Great. That's wonderful. That's a grace from God. But for the rest of the 90% of us, I want to help us out for a few weeks. I'm going to give you a way to pray that I think you'll find your prayer life to be more effective. That you have a go-to, and you have a way to talk to God that will make sense to you when we're done with this. Amen? Can I get a better amen? Verse 28 of chapter 9, it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James, and he went up on the mountain to pray. Look at chapter 22, verse 39. I think I've put this in you now. How many of you believe Jesus had a good prayer life? Luke 22, verse 39. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed. As he was accustomed. He went to the Mount of Olives as was his custom. And his disciples also followed, and he came to the place. And we know that he prayed there. And he prayed the very famous prayer, not my will, but your will be done. So not only was it Jesus' custom to pray, but when he faced very big decisions, he prayed extra. But I find it interesting that Jesus had a place they'd like to go to pray. Isn't that interesting? How many of you have a place? Like if you really need to talk to God, you have a place. Now my pastor growing up, Don Palmer, if he had a decision to make, he would get in the car and drive and pray. And he would drive until he had an answer from God. He told me after his wife passed away, you know, after a long, prolonged illness, that he just felt so lonely and he felt so just lost. I mean, think about just being married for decades and then your spouse is gone. Actually, don't think about that. You'll get very, very depressed. But he was just in this fog and just this heaviness and this sadness. And he said, I just need God to talk to me. He got in his car and he likes to go to the mountains of New Mexico. And he was just intending just to drive and to go out into the mountains and just to pray. Because that was what he does. He said he got in the car. And in that first, and he was just prepared that this was going to take miles and miles and miles. And it was going to take, you know, days and days and days. But he said in that first hour, as I was driving and talking to God, the answers began to come. And that heaviness lifted. Now, you're always going to miss your spouse, but that devastation that he felt and that just like hopeless loneliness, it left. And God began to speak to him about some private things that I won't share with you. He shared with me. But there was a place. He knew if he got in his car and started driving and started talking to God, he would make that connection. Now, for me, so often, I just need to get outside. I just need to get out of the four walls. I mean, I understand God can talk to you when there's a ceiling, but something to me, I need the open skies. I need the fresh air. It's one of the reasons I can hardly exercise inside on a machine. It's like I have to be outside. And so even in the dead of winter and deep snow, I bought some snowshoes so I could get outside. And just because I can talk to God, and the significant things that I've heard from God have been just outside walking or outside riding my bike or but it's a place for me where I can connect with God, and you need to find your place. And I'm not saying I've never heard from God in my office or in my bedroom or other places. I'm just saying if I really need to talk to God without distraction, that's where I need to be. And you need to know that place for you, because I believe most of us have this strong desire. This strong desire. Who has a strong desire to develop a stronger, more effective prayer life? That's everybody. Who wants to have a closer relationship with the Lord? Well, obviously, you're at church on Sunday morning instead of doing something else because you want to have a closer relationship with the Lord. And I'm telling you, those two things go hand in hand. If there's one thing that will cause you to have a closer relationship with the Lord, it will be your prayer life. It won't be the latest book that you read. It won't be something else. It will be that time that you spend where Jesus said, close the door and speak to your Heavenly Father in secret. And what you speak to Him about in secret, He will reward you openly. Nehemiah 4:14, this is a powerful verse. He said, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. You know, there's so much depending upon us getting it right. There's so much in life and us getting that connection with God and following the Lord and being obedient to God's plan for us and getting some things turned around. But I'm telling you what, Paul said in Ephesians that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age. That at the end of all that, he said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. And it tells you how to gird yourselves and how to clothe yourselves in the armor of God. Did you realize that in Ephesians 5:18, we put on the armor of God because we're doing spiritual warfare? And that spiritual warfare, Ephesians 5:18, is prayer. We do all of this to pray. Then I'm telling you, our families, our community, our world really needs us to fight. And we're not going to do that with our knuckles. And we're not going to do that with really nasty words. I like what some people are realizing now in their Facebook. Have you seen this trend lately that says, you know, thank you for your rather vehement, you know, pointed, you know, very loud political statement on Facebook, because now I totally see your point and I've changed my perspective completely because you've posted this now, said nobody ever. I like that. See, we're fighting in the wrong ways. We're mixing it up with people. We're putting bumper stickers on our cars. We're posting on our Facebook wall. And we're not really influencing that world that much. We're just kind of screaming at the air. But if you want to do some real damage and you want to make a real difference, then you lock yourself into your prayer closet and learn how to pray effectively. Come on, let's learn how to fight right. Let's learn how to fight effectively, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm telling you, there's some things that only changed in our family because Michelle and I got in agreement in prayer. I mean, have you ever tried to correct bad behavior in your children and it's not working? You don't have to nod about that one. How many of you have children? Okay. There's some things only prayer is going to bring about the change that really needs to happen. Because there's something in us as human beings, if we're told we have to do something, seems like we have to do the opposite of that thing, right? It's called rebellion. But if we're going to be effective in our praying, it has to start with that desire, but it has to turn into a discipline. People don't like the word discipline. But did you notice that the word discipline has the word disciple in it? Did you notice that? That if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, it is going to require discipline. Let me just tell you something about disciplines. They're not as bad as they sound like. Because discipline sounds horrible, doesn't it? You're going to have to be disciplined. How many of you actually brushed your teeth before you came this morning? Is that not... Oh, some of you didn't raise your hand. I was really kind of hoping, really kind of expecting 100% participation in this. How many of you actually brush your teeth at least twice a day, every day of your life? Is that, again, some of you are not raising your hands. How many of you, if I asked you to raise your hand on anything, you're not raising your hand for sure? I don't like to be told what to do. We know. Me either. Because I'd be the guy, I probably wouldn't have raised my hand either. I'm like, sorry. But isn't that a discipline? Isn't brushing your teeth a discipline? But we learn to do it, and it really, we don't go, oh man, because we're not four anymore. We don't go, oh man, I've got to brush my teeth. Come on, we brush our teeth because for a lot of reasons. They're all beneficial to us. And we don't really have to be arm twisted about it. We just do it automatically now. But we do lots of other things. We wash our hands. And again, don't get me started on that. All right. We get the oil changed in our vehicles regularly. We say please and thank you. We bring the tithe into the storehouse. All of these things are disciplines, and it makes our lives better. Well, I just don't believe in changing the oil in my car. Well, okay, but you better learn that discipline if you're going to own a car. Or it's going to have bad results. I'm saying prayer is a discipline, but it doesn't have to be grievous. It doesn't have to be horrible. It doesn't have to be painful. We can actually learn to do it like brushing our teeth, and it becomes very automatic for us that when we get up in the morning, we pray. Come on, before we go to bed, we pray. When we eat our meal, we pray. Or we're driving to work, we pray. Or at lunchtime, we take 5 minutes and we pray. We can learn that discipline of prayer. And everybody said, I can do it. You cannot be a disciple of Christ without practicing certain disciplines. Most disciplines that we do are almost automatic once they are developed in our lives. And prayer can become that automatic practice in our life that we've just got to learn how to put a time and a place to that. A time and a place. Like when I wake up in the morning, if Michelle has not awakened before me and started the coffee, I start the coffee. But while the coffee's brewing, I take that time to pray. Now, it doesn't take a long time for the coffee to brew. Come on. But I open up dailychapel.com and I pray through those prayers and I read those scriptures that are there. And I wrote Daily Chapel, and yet I go and go through that process because it's there. It's there for me. It's got prayers that I wouldn't normally pray on my own. It gives me a Bible reading program and so forth. And all that can be done before the coffee's done. But it's a discipline. When I'm laying down at night, I pray about the things that are going on during the day. And more often than not, before I leave the house in the morning, Michelle and I pray. But again, guys, sometimes that's 2 minutes to 15 minutes. It depends on what's going on or how much time we have. But you know, sometimes I brush my teeth a little longer than other times. But I was glad to get it in. You know, sometimes I exercise more than other times. But what you know, some guys, you know, like Travis and I have learned that even if you don't have an hour, have you got 20 minutes? And you do the 20 minutes. And I want you to think about prayer that way, because some of you think, well, I don't have an hour. When's the last time you prayed an hour anyway? But give God the 2 minutes and give Him the 10 minutes. But develop those habits in your life and going through the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to do this. Let's look at the Lord's Prayer again. Let's look at the Lord's Prayer again. And what I want you to see in the Lord's Prayer, and this is what we're going to do in the next several weeks, is we're going to learn how to pray through these demarcations, this prayer outline that is the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer starts with, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And so that's one demarcation. That's one part of prayer that we're going to learn how to praise and worship God. The psalmist said in Psalm 100, we enter His gates with thanksgiving and we enter His courts with praise. Amen? And so a great way to start your prayer is just with praise and worship and adoration of God. We're going to learn what it means to hallow or to make holy the name of God. We're going to talk about the names of God. And that second demarcation of prayer, Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And as we pray through that, it's a prayer of dedication and consecration to the Lord. Because I don't want my will to be done. My will might get me in the most trouble possible. My thought about what needs to be done could be completely wrong. What I really want, what you really want, is God's will to be done. And so we pray, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done." And we'll teach you how to do that in a short segment or in a lengthy segment. Give us this day our daily bread. I mean, there is a place in prayer where we ask for our needs to be met. Forgive us. That part of prayer where we come and ask God to forgive us and ask Him to cleanse us. And we offer forgiveness to those that have offended us. That next demarcation, we say, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We're praying for the Holy Spirit leadership and guidance, praying for victory over enemies, praying for victory over opposition in our life. And again, we close our time of prayer with, "Yours is the kingdom, Yours is the power, and Yours is the glory." If you'll read through the Psalms, and most of you have done that, you'll see the Psalms have a very similar pattern. Most Psalms open with some kind of exaltation to God in proclaiming how great is God. In the middle of that, they're doing business. The psalmist is saying, "Lord, help me with this. Lord, help me with that. Kill my enemy." I'm not saying we should say that. I'm just saying what the psalmist said. Asking for leadership, asking for guidance, asking for direction. But you'll almost always notice that the end of that psalm goes right back to, "No matter what, I'm going to worship You. No matter what, I'm going to praise You," and so forth. But we're going to take you through the Lord's Prayer. And you can pray through the whole Lord's Prayer in one setting if you have time. Or you can pray through segments of prayer. You know, in working out, in lifting weights. Not that I know much about that. But you know what? You can't do a total, complete body, everything workout every time you're working out. Sometimes it's leg day. Sometimes it's arm day. Sometimes it's your back. Are you listening to me? And we can learn to be that disciplined. We can make prayer that accessible to all of us. Are you ready to learn to pray better? Amen. So I'm looking forward to this series. Next Sunday, it's "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name." We're going to talk about the names of God next week. And if you've never heard a teaching about the names of God, it can be very, very liberating and very wonderful in your life. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. We ask that You teach us to pray. Because Lord, not only does our life depend upon it, but Father God, we We want to fight for our sons. We want to fight for our daughters. We want to fight for our mothers and fathers and our spouses and our friends. We want to fight for our community because we realize that our life affects and influences and touches other lives. Lord, we want to be as close to You as we can be. And we want to fight in a way that would be effective. So, Lord, we ask You to teach us to pray. Lord, today we've been inspired by just realizing how much prayer was a part of Jesus' life. We want prayer to be so much a part of our everyday life. And so we commit ourselves to You right now to do so. If you've never called on the name of the Lord Jesus and you've never received everlasting life, then let me just say to you, today is the best day for you. Today is the day of salvation for you. Call the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved today. It's as easy as that. If you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son and confess with your mouth that God raised Him again from the dead, you shall be saved. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call the name of the Lord today. Be saved. If you need some help with that, we're going to be right up here in the front as we dismiss the service, and you can call the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved. Thank You, Lord, for hearing, answering our prayers, and teaching us to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you. God bless you. Go out and enjoy the wonderful day that God created for you. Amen. We'll see you next time.